high drop for Jackie Elka.
Goal! Oh, what a goal! What a goal! Yes! Unbelievable finish to the Merseyside Derby!
Hi everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Toffee Blues podcast. In this episode, it's myself joined by Teddy and also James from the Babylon Blues. So, thank you to him for coming on. In this episode, we've got the extra time for our game against Southampton, the 1-0 win at Goodison. We're going to be previewing the West Brom game at the Hawthorns on Thursday. And, of course, Teddy's going to be rounding it off with the Toffee Blues quiz. Hope you all enjoy it. Let's get straight into it. James, you were on our pre-match stream for the derby and I haven't seen you since. I know you were in our chat last night and just want to get your feelings about that, mate, because remember we were sort of talking it down, weren't we, in the stream, and we will get on to Southampton, I promise, but just want to ask, get you, like, your feelings about that, especially after we were expecting so little.
Well, I mean, I don't mind talking about the derby game, to be fair, I'll do that till the day I die. But we were proper crying it in, weren't we? Because we were saying, like, we've been beat every which way, it can't get any worse. And then I think we might have settled on a 1-1 or a 1-0 in the end. And then obviously we scored after like 3-4 minutes, and I'm thinking that is just the perfect start. And then it feels like ages ago now, I think, because I've just like really loved every minute of it since. I've like counted, I've been just drifting through life during this last lockdown, and then the last like 9 days have been the longest I've felt alive for, so I've absolutely loved it. And then we won again last night, obviously, so yeah, it's been a great 10 days now, so just hope it keeps going.
Yeah, and of course we're here today to preview for last night's game against Southampton, a 1-0 win. A really hard fought one, Teddy. Really good one as well. I was made up because of the bad home form. But yeah, what's your thoughts on last night? Just, you know, your main thoughts of last night, because it was a good one to win, wasn't it? We needed a win there.
Yeah, the most important thing is the final results and the points on the board, and that's all you can really say about the game. It wasn't the best game to watch for the purist or for the neutral, but I don't care about purists, I don't care about neutrals, I don't care about Everton. And I think it was a professional performance. I mean, it doesn't feel this way for a supporter when you're watching it, in the middle of the game, but I felt we were comfortable throughout. We were in no danger of losing the lead once we had it. Southampton had, spells of decent build-up play, but didn't really threaten Jordan Pickford until towards the end of the game, when they had Vestergaard draw the save out of Pickford. And even then, that wasn't really, it was a good save, but it wasn't like, they were laying siege to the goal. That was their only moment note in the whole game. And Everton otherwise were in complete command. Good result. And victory was good enough for me. Performance was good enough, rather.
Yeah, it was. I was particularly impressed with Pickford as well, because it was pretty much the only thing he had to do in the whole game, except for sort of be, an outlet with the distribution, wasn't it? So yeah, James, your opinion of the game last night, because it was a tough one to watch at times, but it was a win, wasn't it? That's the most important thing.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same as Terry. I've been saying all week since the derby, I don't care how we play against Southampton, because I know they can be tricky. They've got a few real key injuries, mind. So I didn't think it was going to be as tough as the game when we played them earlier on in the season, which I was quite worried about at the time. But I didn't care how we won it last night, as long as we did that. And that's exactly what I went and did. My mate, who I did a podcast with, texted me before the game, like saying, I can't bother talking about a game for ages tonight, just give us a 1-0er. And that's exactly what happened. So yeah, and I'll take a 1-0 on Thursday. I think they're the games that I just really want us to win now and capitalise on other teams dropping points and games coming really thick and fast. And obviously, we've still got a game in hand on quite a few teams in the league with that Villa game. So, for the minute, I don't really care how we play. I just want us to get the 3 points and obviously we get players back fit and get a bigger squad and what have you as the season keeps going on. But yeah, build some momentum towards that cup game, I think, is the most important thing for me right now.
Yeah, well, it was good. It's good in the way that we can probably now put a bit of a run together, going into the cup game at the end of this month. And of course, going into Thursday's a massive game now, Terry, isn't it? Because that can take us up to fourth for a little bit. You know, of course, Liverpool playing Chelsea after that. But as James mentioned, with that game in hand, Thursday's even more important now because of last night, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a cliche to say all importance, but it's true. They are like it's about getting momentum going now. We're coming into towards the end of the season. We've come through the most difficult periods of the season for, you know, scheduling and, you know, injuries and stuff like that. We're getting players back. You know, Alan's come back against Southampton. So you want to beat West Brom especially. Then you've got three wins in a row. And, you start to snowball then, you know, gather more and more momentum. And you can go into games because there's going to be a lot of hard games coming up. But if you've got you're coming off the back of a good run of wins and a good run of performances and a good run of clean sheets, maybe, then you can go into those games and have nothing to fear. And that's what we're going to need to do. And West Brom, they are basically not going to prioritise the game against Everton compared to the game they've got at the weekend, I think, is against Newcastle.
I haven't checked, but no.
Basically, they're playing a fellow relegation rival on the weekend, and they don't want to be playing this game against Everton. So I think Allardyce might even rotate some players. So got to go into those games and get the momentum going and get a run going, because it's going to be crucial now.
Yeah, and it was immediately when the final whistle went last night and they showed the table, it was just like, wow, that game on Thursday is so important. And we will preview that one on the channel, so stay tuned for it as well. But going on to last night's performance, there was a couple of real standout players. I personally, James, thought Doucouré was fantastic, and not a lot of people are sort of drumming him up. I think a couple of people shouted out for Richarlison, man of the match, which Sky gave him. Pickford as well was in there, but I thought Doucouré was really good. So what did you make of him? Because I'm interested to know what other people thought of him.
Yeah, I thought Doucouré played well last night. To be fair, my dad said, he's like, I think Doucouré's been our most consistent player this season. I said, yeah, he probably has, along with Calvert-Lewin, but I sort of said, you know, by virtue of the fact he's played, I think he's played the most minutes in the squad. I think the only game he hasn't played in the league might have been Leicester. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
I think you're right, James, because I think he got a suspension, didn't he?
Yeah, he was suspended. Yeah, he got booked against Wolves. So I think that's the only game he's missed, as I say, I believe. I know he's been taken off a few times. I think he got took off at Old Trafford maybe towards the end, but yeah, he's just been, I think he's been really good for us this season, and he sort of offered a lot going forward and defensively. I think it's 6 goal involvements, which I think might be his second best season in England, maybe. He had that one season at Watford where he got close to 10, I think. So, yeah, I think Doucouré's been really good tonight, this season, sorry. And I think Calvert-Lewin last night did a sort of classic striker's performance in terms of he absolutely bullied that Sally Sue at centre-half. Where he was pathetic, to be honest. Didn't score, but I thought he put in a decent shift. Richarlison still was goal well. Jordan Pickford stayed focused throughout the game, which has been the biggest concern for me, I think, is the games when he's not very busy, is I think he can then make a bit of an error and, you know, he's not switched on before. His distribution was really good. Save at the end, very big. And yeah, to be honest with you, I didn't really think there was anyone who wasn't great. I just think it was a bit of a sluggish all-round performance. Both teams not at their best, but we got the win, and as we keep on saying, that's all that mattered for me last night.
And like you mentioned there, Calvert-Lewin, and I agree with you there, James, because I had a bit of a controversial take about just before half-time, where he sort of bullied off a Southampton player and won a throw-in, but he sort of tracked all the way back for it. And he did put in one of those performances that you have to put in. He didn't score a goal, and he didn't get an assist, but he seemed to be there and he wanted that win more than anyone. And I made a controversial... I said, if he starts to get 20 goals, I think he's better than Romelu Lukaku. Purely because, I think he just offers a lot more than him. I know Lukaku was an out-and-out brilliant goal scorer, but I think he definitely deserves them, you know, that comparison. I think if he continues to score the goals like he does, and he finishes this season on, I'm not sure what he's on at the moment, but if he starts to get 20 goals, how is he not better than Lukaku for me? He offers a lot more than him, and if he can get the goals to rival him, then I don't know. I just think not enough people are talking about it. Teddy, what do you think?
Well, he was an absolute bull against Southampton. They couldn't live with him. He just absolutely made their lives hell. Like James said, that Salisu, he wanted to get off the pitch because he just couldn't. He couldn't cope. Better than Lukaku, I think I prefer Calvert-Lewin as a player and as a person, frankly, to Lukaku. I think he's far more committed to Everton. He's much more of a quote-unquote Everton player, but better than him. I think he'll be better than him when he's better than him. He's got to have a few seasons of scoring 20 goals before he can make that call. That's still quite early for me, that, because Lukaku, regardless of whatever else you say about him, is Everton's top goal scorer in the Premier League era. I would love to sit here and when Dominic Calvert-Lewin breaks that and he's the new top scorer in the Premier League era, and then I'll say it. But he's definitely a better fit at Everton than Lukaku was, I'll say that.
I know, and obviously there's that, but I think if we're talking about, like, obviously not at the moment, but if we're talking about projected, you know, based on how I think he's going to do in the next few years, I do expect him to pass that. The way he's going. But when he's playing, I think, and he just would have been a perfect partner for him if he was still at the club, because I was watching him and I just think I'm more confident with him on the pitch that we're going to create a chance than I was with Lukaku, because Lukaku would stand up there and wait for the ball. I feel more, I think, and as well in this Everton side, he's got more, he's, compare, and of course there is comparisons, isn't there, to that Martinez team from when Lukaku first signed. But with this Ancelotti team, I just see him being better than him. James, what do you think?
I think the big difference is that Lukaku came as, like, not the finished article, but he was a lot closer to the finished article. I know he's a bit older as well than he'd had more experience. He'd been at West Brom. I think he got into double figures there, maybe 14, 15 goals, something like that. And then he came to us as, he felt like when he came to us, he was already a proven Premier League goal scorer. And you know, he definitely sort of filled his boots in that regard. He then did it the next season and the next season and the next season. And he didn't have a bad year at Everton. I think maybe the 14, 15, he only got 9 or 10 league goals, but he did score a few in Europe as well. So yeah, and I think, as what Terry said, that's the other big thing, is that I just think as a fit for Everton, Calvert-Lewin's come and he's sort of learned his trade here, and he seems like he's very happy to be at Everton. Whereas with Lukaku, it always felt like we were going to lose him. Whereas with Calvert-Lewin, I'm not saying it'll happen, but I can sit here and think that he will still be an Everton player in 2-3 years. Whereas Lukaku, I remember the year we signed him, I think Wolfsburg were sniffing around him, and I remember thinking when rumours started circling, you might not even keep him. In the January after we signed him, like, he'd been there 6 months and there was already, so it feels like he's a much better fit and he's on the correct trajectory to probably overtake Lukaku. I think there's certain instances where I'd rather have Lukaku and certain instances where I'd rather have Calvert-Lewin, but yeah, I don't think they're the most sort of, I think they are quite similar in that sort of regard, so I do think you can get a definitive answer on who's better by the end of Calvert-Lewin's time at Everton. But yeah, I think to do that, he probably needs to overtake him in the Premier League goal scoring charts for us. I think it's 68 or something. So yeah, I think that's what he has to do.
I don't know. I was just, you know, there last night, I just watched him and I thought, this lad has absolutely, he's ran himself into the ground all night. He was there, he was creating chances and don't get me wrong, he could have had a goal or an assist if Richarlison had maybe stuck a bit closer to them. There was a couple of times where the ball landed at Calvert-Lewin on the edge of the box and he chested it down and Richarlison was just a yard too wide of it. And I was just watching, I was just thinking, I prefer him to Lukaku when he you know, in his, like, first or second season, whatever this really is, as you count it, for Calvert-Lewin, because he'd been at the club for a while. We actually signed him while Lukaku was still at the club, didn't we? So, I don't know. I just watching him, I feel like he offers so much more to the game, and I feel like he's going to overtake him in goals if he carries on. If he stays at Everton for the foreseeable, I feel like he's gonna overtake him in goals. I think he offers a lot more than him. For me, and I've been Calvert-Lewin's biggest critic, and growing up I loved Romelu Lukaku because he was the Everton striker for me. When I started to sort of shape into the sort of Evertonian I am now. And he was an idol for me, but for me it's just watching Calvert-Lewin. I'm just a lot more confident with Calvert-Lewin on the pitch. And and maybe it's just me, but let us know in the comments what you think. But I want to talk about Jordan Pickford as well, lads, because he buried the hatchet last week at Anfield with that performance. But Terry, last night Pickford didn't have anything to do really, but popped up with that save. So what did you make of him?
He had a decent game. You know, he wasn't the perfect game. He flapped at a few things, and you know, but he came up when it mattered. Much like the rest of the team, he wasn't spectacular, but when it counted, he was there. And that save from their one and only, you know, good chance, that's as good as a goal. That was as big as a second goal. We won the game.
Yeah, 100%. I said on the reaction that won us the game, that save.
Yeah, we won the game in that moment, and I think Southampton knew it as well. So, you know, got to give him credit where it's due. You know, like, his big involvement in the game was to save us 2 points. So, you know, credit to Jordan Pickford. Two decent performances back-to-back and two clean sheets back-to-back. He needs to carry on with that, build on it, because he's got a long way back for a lot of supporters, but he's doing himself no harm with his performances at the minute.
James, like Terry said, two clean sheets recently. Yeah, what have you made? What did you make of him last night? Because I was one of his biggest critic, and I still do critique him, and I think he's got a long way to go to bring himself up to the level of the goalkeeper that we need if we're going to be in the Champions League. But when a player plays well, I love talking about them and, you know, and praising them. So what did you make of him last night? Because I think he deserves quite a bit of credit for that last night.
Yeah, I think it was another big performance. But I was sort of saying to someone this morning, actually, that I think if Ancelotti is unsure on Pickford, then these next dozen games or so are going to save his Everton career or sort of finish it, if you like. Or I think if Ancelotti's already decided that he wants a new goalie in the summer, then it doesn't matter if next 2 months he throws the ball on his net every game or he wins his 2 points most weeks. I think if he's made his mind up, then it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, last night he had one big thing to do and he did that. And the thing with me with a goalkeeper is just you need someone who's reliable in net. There's nothing worse than if you kind of goalie that you just don't trust in net. I remember when West Ham had that, I can't think what his name was, that Spanish keeper they signed a couple of seasons ago. Roberto, yeah. I remember when he played, West Ham were absolute pony because they had like this fella in there who couldn't do anything. And you can't go down any good team in football, any team that's, you know, gone into Europe and say, oh, well, they haven't actually, their goalkeeper's pretty poor. I know there's been some goalies who maybe aren't world class, but like I think the few and far between the teams who are successful, they've always got a great goalkeeper in there. I think John Pickford's got the potential for that, but as I say, he needs to do it for the rest of this season before we even start thinking about him being our goalkeeper in some form of European competition. Because, again, as Terry said, he's got a long way back for a lot of fans, and he's certainly got a long way back for me. So it's going to be interesting to see how he gets on in the next, as I say, I think it's about a dozen games and hopefully a couple more in the cup. But last night, yeah, he earned his money last night, so I was pleased with him.
Yeah, I was just happy for him because it seems like he was much higher on confidence. There was one point where like the ball went back to him and his pass through the middle to Alan was brilliant. And he just seems to be a lot better with his feet, made that important save. He seems to just be really high on confidence and I was absolutely made up with it. But there's no real players, I think, who you could say had a real bad game. I think, you know, maybe Holgate at times gave it away a bit too much. And, you know, but apart from that, I think everyone sort of, you know, was pretty good. Not saying Holgate was bad, though. You know, he was pretty solid at right back. And the team we put out won us the game, which was handy. Sigurdsson's pass as well needs to be mentioned because, you know, he seems to be up and down. He's such a strange player, Terry. And people can bring out all the stats they want about him. his time at Everton, he's come out with way too many dire performances that a lot of fans gave up on him recently. And but last night he was a bit better, I thought, and his pass was good, and a couple of the free kicks he had, I did definitely think we were going to score from one of them. But just a word on Gylfi Sigurdsson, I think Teddy is necessary.
Yeah, I mean he's earning his money again now, isn't he? He's starting to perform. I know it gets said a lot, but I think he's found his sort of role in the squad now, that it's going to be the player who plays when James Rodriguez isn't. I don't think it works when the two of them are in the team at the same time. But, you know, if we're going to play that diamond or that 4-1-2 with, you know, Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin up front, then that number 10 position with the three centre midfielders behind him, that's tailor-made for Sigurdsson, because he's not far back into the midfield where he can make mistakes or he can be caught out with his positioning. And he's got more than one player ahead of him to aim at. So it suits him down to the ground. There's obviously a set piece delivery is very important as well. And other than the direct free kick on the edge of the box, which Calvert-Lewin won, I don't know why the other players don't just turn to Sigurdsson and go, listen, mate, you've had 3 years here and you've never scored one of these, get off it, I'm having it. But yeah, he's come back from the brink for me. He was last season, historically I'd liked him, but last season I'd gone off him in a big way. Much like everyone had, he was getting played in a 4-4-2 and he was strolling the pitch and pulling out of tackles and pointing to pass the ball rather than give it to him.
Yeah, that performance at Wolves away last year was one of the worst performances I've ever seen by an Everton player. That day as a whole was just awful.
Well, he's come back for me from the brink for that. I think there's definitely a place for him in the team. I think he's a useful player to have under this manager. Carlos clearly likes him. And I'm now not in the I hate Sigurdsson club. I'm back in the, you know, Sigurdsson's a useful player club. I'm not saying everyone else is, but, you know, he got a really good assist last night, almost a carbon copy sort of move, the one that Richarlison scored in the derby. Straight pass, diagonal run in the net, simple as that. And credit to Sigurdsson, because he's turned it round.
I think I'll join you in that club, Teddy, of the Sigurdsson's a useful player club, because I know Paul hates him. Paul absolutely hates him. I think me and Paul were talking about him on a stream a few weeks ago, and we were talking about that. Like, he fits a very specific niche that he has to have. He can't run, but he's very good at putting the ball in behind. So he needs to be that player with a little bit of space in this very specific area at this very specific time. And we were like, is there space in the Everton team for a player like that? And that was after the Fulham game, I think. And then he went and scored the penalty away at Anfield. So after that, I was made up with him to step up at Anfield in the last 5 minutes and put the penalty away. And then last night, getting himself an assist. And I don't know, I'm always changing on him. He's like a bad smell, isn't he? He just seems to always come back. And but yeah, James, your opinion on him, because he splits opinions so much. And I think it'll be spoken about even after he's left Everton. It'll be a bit of a debate, won't it? Because record signing at the time, coming in, didn't have the greatest track record, so coming in, he's been at the club for four seasons now. What have you, what have you made of him? Because basically, what club are you in? Are you in mine and Teddy's club, or are you in the get rid of him club?
I'm sniffing around your club at the minute, but I'm not in it just yet. I talk about players who have sort of got a long way back, and he's one of them, with the likes of him, Pickford, I mean, I'd say Delph, but he's probably like miles away. He's not coming back. Each passing seconds.
Delph, we're talking about Sigurdsson here as a split opinion. Like, out of respect for Gylfi Sigurdsson, I wouldn't even put him in the same sentence as Fabian Delph. Like, Fabian Delph is like, for the player that Sigurdsson deserves some praise here and there, and he has the odd good game and he does the odd important thing, but we'll save the Delft talk for another day. He's just, yeah, I'm lost with that guy.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you. Yeah, he shouldn't be, they shouldn't be uttered in the same breath. But yeah, I think you talk about the stats you can throw out. I think now he's on 14 goal involvements this season, which, and I was saying last night, I think he's been pretty crap for about 60% of the season and then all right for about 20-25%, something like that. And then he's turned it on in a few games. There's even like the Tottenham game, that was him in the nutshell.
There's a couple of games you can...
When he got three assists.
There's a couple of games you can pin this season that they were his good points and the rest of it's rubbish. It's like, there's the Sheffield United goal away. There's the penalty at Anfield. There's the penalty against... Was it Chelsea or was it... I think he scored one against Chelsea and I think he scored one against Tottenham.
Chelsea, yeah.
Yeah, and he scored the one against Tottenham to make it 3-1. So, he's had the odd couple of you know, good moments, and he just seems to have the, yeah, you think, yeah, that's it now. I'm finished with him. I'm not going to back him again. And then he does something like that, that sort of makes you go, oh, do you know what? I don't know if I want to change my mind on him, because he'll do something really important. It won't be like he'll score a consolation goal in a dead rubber. He's got enough scoring goals to win games or something like that. So, I don't know. He splits opinion, and I'd like to see what more people think of him.
Well, I think as well, like you talk about how he's been here 4 seasons. Now, I remember his first one, he was, we didn't need him at all. We'd signed Rooney, we'd signed Klaassen, and we were playing a formation with one attacking midfielder. I don't know what the behind the scenes was with Ross Barkley, but he was still at the club, so I don't really know what the plan was. He got played on the left. He scored about 5 worldies that season, but I felt he was fairly underwhelming. And then the 18-19 season, I think he got 13 goals maybe. But I remember thinking there was games where if he didn't score or assist, he didn't do much. And then the goals dried up last year. And then obviously he got played in that deeper role, which he just can't do. And this season he's had good moments, as you say, absolutely. But he's only strung together a couple of 90 minutes where I think he's been genuinely really, really good and worked really hard and been one of the better players. Maybe I've got my Sigurdsson goggles on a little bit, but yeah, it's just going forward, if he can play in that sort of niche that you talk about, then that's fine, because I think he can definitely do that. But I was really pleased last night when I saw Iwobi come on and he didn't move him deeper, because that was a huge worry, because he can't play deeper, in my opinion. I've seen it too many times now to think that it's a role he can sort of really fulfil. I think it was the City game when he got moved there. It's like, I think if he's going to play in that little bit where he played last night, that little pocket, he's either there, he's off the pitch. I can't see him ever getting moved to that central midfield spot again, because he just, as you say, he can't run, he can't tackle. So if he's got to play behind the striker, that's the only position on the pitch where I think Sigurdsson's going to be useful for us.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully Carlo sticks to him then if he is going to give him a new deal. Just final word though, Alex Iwobi, because that stat of him coming on in the 87th minute and having more possession of the ball or take-ons or something than any other player just says it all, really, doesn't it? How, you know, boring that game was at times. But anyway, we'll leave it there. And we're going to be talking about Everton's game away at West Bromwich Albion on Thursday. Teddy, this game is really, really important now. First to play, I think, on the match day, if not like one of the early ones. So we can really set the tempo here with 3 points. On 43 now, win here moves us up into the top four. Basically, just how important is this?
I mean, it's big for the table, because you would be in fourth while the other teams are playing. And it'd be big for the club, because it'd just be, as I said in the previous segments, getting momentum snowballing going into the, you know, the crunch time at the end of the season, because that'll have an effect when we go into the cup game as well. And, you know, it'll really set the tone as to where we could finish the season. So also really important to me, because I've been looking forward to the time where Everton would play against Big Scam once again. The absolute,
you know what, Teddy,
slug of a man
in me,
who considers himself a master. Oh, yeah, that's right. Big slug of a man who considers himself a master of defence alongside Diego Simeone, and claims that Everton were in the relegation places when he came in, even though we were 13th, and classed a game against David Unsworth was manager for as one of his wins because he was in the stand. I was in the stand on that game, so technically I won for all.
If anyone can take credit for winning us that game, it's Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, and you know, always whenever he gets a result, it's his tactics, and whenever he gets battered, the players didn't carry out his tactics. And texting Jake Humphries when we were losing to Man United this season, saying, you know, the defending is the worst he's seen in years in the Premier League, and then he comes back into the Premier League and gets battered 5-0 and 4-0 regularly. What else? Oh, yeah. The 11 out of 10 on the survey judges himself to have done a job. I will go missing if we don't beat this absolute charlatan at the week on Thursday. You won't hear from me ever again if he beats us, because I can't stand the fella.
Yeah. Before Teddy began to vent, I was planning to ask about him, and I thought, you know what, we might run out of time if I start talking about Allardyce, because we could talk for ages about that season and this man in particular. Since he's come in, West Brom have not got any better than they have since Bilic. They're sat there in 19th. I think they're on 17 points. And you mentioned about how they've got Newcastle, at the weekend as well, Teddy. But James, West Brom have not been very good this season. They look like they're going to go back down. But what have you made of them? Do you think that makes it harder? Because I've seen a tweet from Owen, who's a regular on the channel, and he was saying, Big Sam will have 11 men behind the ball, just trying to get a nil-nil out or something. So would it be easier if we were playing a team that sort of just came at us? I know you've got to play every team at some point, but do you expect this one to be hard? Or because it's strange for the team in 19th, you'd expect it to be a bit easier than another team, but you know, are we the best at breaking down a West Brom team like that?
There's always going to be like a little caveat, isn't there, for each game. Like, I remember Sheffield United, we had about 10 fifth players that night, and we went to there and it was a real slugfest, and there's Boxing Day and just everything. So I think no matter who you play, you can always seem a lot tougher than it needs to be. But yeah, as Terry said, we've just got to win that game because they are pony. I don't care that if you get beat, I won't look a mug there, because they are, and they can win a game of football and still be crap. But I remember when they played at Anfield, and obviously it was dead funny. They got a point there, and that was all fun and games. I remember the warm up; they were warming up in the back four or back five, just pacing back and forth, because that's all he seems to know. But yeah, he winds me up to no end. So we just have to go there, get an early goal, and then taste their own medicine. I think just sit back and then see if we can get another. So it's got to be another win. I don't care how we do it, but yeah, if we drop points to him, I'll be furious, and he'll be loving it as well, because if it's a bit of a lose-lose though, if we win, it'll be the scheduling and all this nonsense he's come off today already, getting that excuse in, and then if they get something from us, then it'll be we shouldn't have sacked him, all this crap. So yeah, he's just an absolute nightmare of a man.
I'm glad that you've said all that, Teddy, because there's a couple of people who, for some reason, see fit to defend him. The man is just when I think back on my time as an Evertonian, they were some of the darkest days. I've never missed so many Everton matches. I've been a season ticket holder for years. I've never missed so many home matches as I did when he was the manager. Just him sat there with his big raincoat on and his cup of coffee, and Sammy Lee stood behind him. It's just horrible memories. So Yeah, this is, Teddy, if we're going to pick a game to win, if we're going to pick a game to win 4 or 5 nil, I'd love to rub it in his face because his comments are just absolutely out of this world in terms of how silly he is.
His press conferences had more excitement and action in them than his matches did. Yeah, could go on forever, standing on the touchline, licking the snot off his lip in the middle of February away at Stoke. And honestly, why aren't you playing Adam Ola-Luckman? Well, I've got Yannick Bolasie, who costs 30 million, and Theo Walcott, who costs 25 million. I went, oh, yeah, Sam, that's how it works, mate. Yeah, the more you cost, the better you are. Oh, this game, just to touch on the game, just for for the two West Brom fans who are watching,
we'll interrupt the Sam Allardyce preview to talk about the game on Thursday for a moment.
Yeah, sorry, West Brom fans, because I like West Brom as a club, got loads of time for them, but I haven't for Sam Allardyce.
Yeah,
at least
same mate,
you know, if we can't beat him, then there's nothing down for us. And you know, at least if he does get beat, we batter them or we beat them or whatever. He won't be able to get off to Benidorm like he did after we lost a few important games because his beloved Brexit happened and put the bullet in that, didn't it? So sorry, Sam. Honestly though, but I try to give every club and every team their due. Like, you can't just pretend you're going to walk into matches and roll teams over in this league, but they are undies. They're terrible. We should be beating them anyway. And he's basically crying in already, saying he's got to rotate his team. So he's practically writing this game off to play Newcastle. But they will play a certain way that won't suit Everton. Everton don't want to have all the ball, but West Brom are going to make sure they do. And that's where we make our own mistakes. We give it away in key areas when we've got too much of the ball trying to engineer something. So I'm just hoping that the likes of James are playing, who are very careful with the ball and can, you know, make the difference in the game, because honestly, I won't be able to live with myself if we don't beat that slug.
Yeah, it's one that I'd love to go there and batter them. And I hope we wear that lovely yellow away kit. Just doesn't really have any meaning, to be honest, but it's seen it on the poster on Sky, and I really hope we wear it. James, that as Terry was saying, James playing as well. What sort of team should we go for? Because there's the likes of James and Davis who missed out last night against Southampton. What sort of team do you want to see? Because I definitely want to see James here, because if anyone's going to unlock them, it's going to be someone like him, isn't it? With hopefully Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin up front in the diamond.
Yeah, I said James has got to play in this game in terms of the creativity, because even though, I mean, Lee Peltier's been getting minutes in the Premier League. I can't believe it. That Townsend got a fullback as well. And then the Kyle Bartleys of this world, just bang average footballers who I think West Brom came up too quickly for some parts as well, because just think players like that are good enough. And again, same as you boys, I've got no problem with West Brom, and it's more just Allardyce. But we need to have the creativity on. We want to try and break them down, because they're only going one way. We know they're only going to play one way. They're not capable of playing any other way, mostly down to him. But yeah, I did say to my dad though last night, if one team is going to have a tactic for just kicking James all game, it's going to be Sam Allardyce's team. And if one player is going to be doing it, it's Jake Livermore. And if he plays, I can see him going through James 3 or 4 times before he is inevitably booked. But I think we need a lot of creativity on the pitch. James, maybe even an Iwobi. I'm absolutely desperate to see a midfield three of Decore, Davis and Alan, and we haven't once seen it yet. So I'd love to think that will happen, but again, I think he could rest Alan, maybe even Decore, because Alan's not played a lot and Decore is on the other end of the spectrum. He's played absolutely loads. So it's going to be interesting, but yeah, as long as we've got James on the pitch, I think we've got our best solution for breaking down sort of, well, 11 men behind the ball, really. And then the likes of Michael Keane are going to need a big game against that Diagne fella they got up front, because he looked like a bit of a handful. Classic mid-season Sam Allardyce signing him. So it's gonna be a big game for us, and we just need to make sure we go and win.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough one. That's, like, you know, It goes without saying, because teams like that who are going to sit back, we do struggle against them. But the away form, we can't talk about the away form. I think this is 9 away wins if we beat West Brom on Thursday.
If we win, it's the most away wins at this stage of our season ever, I think.
Really?
I should have mentioned that, yeah. I think the Liverpool one made it equal with 84, 85. And then I think we drew against someone in the next game. So if we win, I think it's the best record by this stage of season we've ever had. So.
Oh, my word. Yeah, unbelievable away form this season, Teddy, because you've got faith now that Everton can go away and beat anyone on their own patch. You know, even going away to like Arsenal and Chelsea, which we've still got to do, gives you a bit more, you know, a bit more confidence going to these away games when Everton haven't done very well in them. And even like, you know, the games that have come previously, like Leicester away, Leeds away, I didn't have really any confidence for us beating Leeds because I just thought these are jammy. I can't see it based on Everton's, you know, history of going away to teams like this in night games. And we beat them 2-1. So that's important, isn't it? It's good to get another win here, not just to beat Allardyce and not just to move up into fourth, but, you know, to really show that we're a good side away from home this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's that behind closed doors football, hasn't it? It's changed the game. It's taken away the effect, obviously, of supporters on the game. So it's all now down to the tactical nous and setup of the manager. There's no, you know, sort of peripheral, sort of other factor. And not many have got a better manager than us. It's as simple as that. The better managers win away from home because it requires a lot more, you know, a lot more setup, a lot more, you know, coaching, a lot more everything that on the manager's side of things, because there's no equaliser anymore. So that's, you look at our form this season and that, you know, it bears that out. Like, Carlo's probably won more away games than the previous three managers combined have, because he's just a better manager than them. And when the fans come back, okay, I don't expect to win nine away games by this time of the season every year, but I think we'll win more than we did previously, and it won't become, you know, the away game problem anymore. I think he'll have moved us on from that, because the players, you know, they get used to things, and they get used to winning away from home. Winning breeds winning. So looking again against home, it's nice to set new, you know, good records, isn't it? Get rid of the bad ones and set new good ones. This is another one I want to set. Best ever away record. It's better than 84-85. It'll go some way to being the best away records of any season ever by the end of it.
Yeah, definitely. It's so good to
think
see
as well. I think if we do win, I think it's he will now overtake Silver at Allardyce and Koeman combined for away wins in the league. Amazing. I'm pretty sure. I think he's level at the minute. So yeah,
it's amazing stats. It's crazy to think we entertain those three managers at the club. For a club that whose motto is nothing but the best is good enough, we certainly haven't lived up to it until now, because, yeah, we've spoke about it already, but we were entertaining some absolute dross in the dugout, weren't we? And it's good to see that Carlo's come in and there is a genuine difference, and you genuinely can see the change, and no one has the right to question this manager now. Everything Carlo Ancelotti does for me is bulletproof, because I trust him, I have full faith in him. And now, you know, I'm pretty confident going into Thursday's game. I don't know about you two, but I'd say we've got every reason we can beat them, and we can beat them convincingly. And if we hopefully get an early goal like we did last night against Southampton, no reason we can't. Teddy, I want to get your... Who you'd like to see, because James mentioned Iwobi there. Iwobi's been brilliant, I think, coming off the bench in the last couple of games, even if it's only been for the last couple of minutes to see the game out. I would like to see Iwobi, and I think he could hurt this West Brom team for me. I think he's a good player to play against them, because he seems to have gained a bit of pace, and he seems to, his footwork's been a lot better. So any players in particular you'd like to see come into the side?
You know, there's two things that I've learnt about Carlo is you don't know what his team lineup's going to be, because it changes constantly, and you can't trust him when it comes to injury news. So I don't know. It's the worst question to ask me. I want to see James come in. Well, James could not be fit, but he's saying that he will be back for this game. He always does it. But Iwobi, you know, he's good travelling with the ball. He's one of the best. We've got a lot of good footballers for delivery of ball and for, you know, like Sigurdsson and, you know, the passing of Andre Gomez and so on. But not many players carry the ball very well in the team. Richarlison's one. Dean's one. I don't even think Calvert-Lewin's particularly good when he's running with the ball at his feet. That's not his game. He likes to finish and, you know, win the ball and move it on. So Iwobi sticks out a mile because he's got that little bit of flair in his boots. And I wouldn't be upset to see Iwobi. To be honest, I wouldn't be upset to see any player start apart from Delph. It's the only red line I've got.
Yeah.
Everyone else in Calo we trust. But if we ever start Delph, I'll question it.
Yeah, and we'll leave it there, guys. Just quickly, just want to get your score predictions for Thursday. James, start with you first, mate. Score prediction?
I'll go 2-0. Obviously to us. Yeah, 2-0.
Any goal scorers or anything like that you can see coming?
I think I could see a defender score, maybe like a Michael Keane or a... Maybe it could be the game Ben Godfrey gets his first goal. I think we need to make use of set pieces because they're going to be fouls all over the gaff. So I think we're going to have a lot of opportunities to put the ball into the mixer. And I'll go Michael Keane and I'll say Richarlison to keep his rich vein of form going.
I agree with that 2-0. And I can see Luca Dean scoring because I think after we mentioned it in the Southampton extra time, Teddy, but Gylfi Sigurdsson's free kicks are absolutely dire, and I'm wondering now maybe they're going to let Luca Dean take one, you know, when it's just outside the box, and I can see Luca Dean maybe getting a free kick goal for some reason, and hopefully Richarlison as well. Teddy, you got any score predictions?
5-0.
5-0, that's it. And
I mean it, 5-0. They're shite, he's shite. And if we don't beat them 5-0, I'll be upset.
Let's bring Cheng Tosin and Theo Walcott back up from on loan and get him to Betty. get them both to Betty, Big Sam, and it'll be a 5-0 win.
And now we move on to the end of the podcast and, of course, the quiz. We're going to change things up a little bit once again, and I'm going to host the quiz. I'm trying my very best, though, not to do my strange quizmaster voice that I always put on, my sort of received pronunciation voice, my official voice, as it were, my telephone voice.
Yeah.
And, of course, we'll be doing the starting 11 quiz, as usual, for a game of Everton past against Brom. And, if I could just have intense quiz music, please. There it is. Very intense. The game in question this week between James and Stephen will be a game from January 2018, the 20th of January 2018, between Everton and West Brom at Goodison Park, which finished 1-1. And I'm going to quickly find a coin to flip, see who wants to go first.
That's a tough one, though.
Was slipping into the voice then, but be careful.
Because we were just talking about how forgettable all that season was on the preview, weren't we? It's a tough one, though.
It was indeed. Right, okay. So I'm going to flip a coin. I'm going to let you guess, and you're the usual host, Stephen. So, James, head tails?
I'll go heads.
It is tails. So, Stephen, you get to pick whether you want to go first or second.
I'll go second. I'll let James get one in first because it might jog my memory a little bit.
So, remember 2018, and I think that is... Yeah, that's when Allardyce was in charge.
I think it might have still been Koeman at the time, though. I'm not sure. Oh no, sorry. I think it was November, wasn't it? He took over. Yeah. So it would have been Allardyce, wouldn't it? Okay.
So I'm glad I'm not on the the other side of the quiz podium in this one because
James is 1-0 as well in the quizzes, isn't he? Because last time I was the host and he took it all away on the Man United one.
2-0, he's done that twice.
Yeah, I was going to say 2-0 actually, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Ah, okay, cool.
So, are you ready, James? We can fire away.
I mean, I remember then, Stephen, on the YouTube video about how you missed loads of games, but I remember I went to loads of games that season for God knows what reason, but I was on holiday when this game was happening, so I remember watching it in the Alps on some horrible stream. And that was the game James McCarthy broke his leg, so I'll start with him. Start with me to get one.
Oh, I remember now.
James McCarthy. James McCarthy did in fact start and was indeed substituted, that'll be why.
Yeah, it was Rondon, wasn't it? Remember Rondon was like heartbroken? I remember it now. Okay. Oh god. So 2017, 2018. There's only
2018.
What's say Teddy, sorry?
2018 January, and it's in the
Allardyce era. So, going off that season, I'm gonna go for Jordan Pickford because he was the goalkeeper, wasn't he?
Jordan Pickford did start the game, and he was in fact the goalkeeper.
Yeah, sorry, James, I've took the easy way out there.
No, that's fine. I'll go. I will go for. Nias. I think he scored the goal. He scored about 8 goals that season somehow, so I'll say Nias.
Nias was a used substitute and did indeed score Everton's goal on the 70th minute.
Oh, well, that's ruined it for
picking
me.
Picking the goalkeeper.
Go on.
Picking the goalkeeper or the goal scorer is like taking the low offer on the chase, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? I feel very, very dirty now. All right. Well, I think I'm getting my games mixed up here because I'm not sure if it was Leicester at home I'm thinking about because I thought that was 1-1 as well that season. I'm going to go for one of... It was the 20th of January.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 20th of January.
I'm just thinking might have been a bit early for one of his signings in the January window, so I'm going to leave him out. I'm going to go for Leighton Baines.
Nope. We've got a winner, an early winner. You've fluffed it early, James, as the winner. Oh, this was the...
He's injured loads, wasn't he?
I'm going to give you this one because it's so bad. This was Cuco Martinez' reign of terror at left back.
Toshin and Walcott, but I was just going to say Toshin, I think it was his home debut, maybe.
Toshin did indeed start the game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, awful. Cool, I remember he had a shot in the first half, and I think it was our first shot for about 3 games or something ridiculous.
Well, I was thinking... Are we going to carry on, Teddy, seeing as I've absolutely embarrassed myself and gone out so early?
Yeah, okay. I broke and gave you Cuco Martino when I shouldn't have. I was just that horrified to see it on the list again. But since it doesn't count anymore, you know, James has won. Get thinking of your song, James. But yeah, so we've had McCarthy, Pickford, Martina, and Tosin so far. Still, and Nias off the bench. Still quite a few players to go.
Is it James or me?
Yeah, I said Tosin, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Awkward silence. You can just both keep.
Yeah, we could go with that as well. I forgot he said Tosin. I still can't believe that Bainesy didn't start. Right, I think Coleman was injured because remember he came back in the thing that might have been Newcastle or Leicester. There's one play. Oh, I don't know actually if he would have played. I think he came on for his debut because he signed in that January window. Theo Walcott.
Theo Walcott did start,
That was me one, and then I thought it might have been a bit early because I knew he signed in that window, so that's why I went for Baines, thinking Baines was a sure one.
I think he assisted the goal, Walcott, I think.
Yeah, I thought he scored. Anyway, I thought he scored his first goal at the Park End.
No, yeah, that is that was 2-1 against Leicester, that, I think.
Yeah.
Did either of you see at the time the Everton banter era, like Fred?
I love that. I absolutely love that. It's amazing.
Well, that was me. I made that.
Really?
Terry,
we have a legend on the podcast that we didn't even know it.
It was this game that sparked it, because I thought, because I'd never seen the replay, but I thought Morgan Schneider lost the ball and then McCarthy won it back. But I think McCarthy might have actually lost it when he broke his leg. But I remember one of the things I put in it was Schneider lost the ball for the umpteenth time this season, and it resulted in James McCarthy breaking his leg. So Morgan Schneider, I'll have him there as well.
I'll have to go find that.
Great way to spend a holiday.
Morgan Morgan Schneiderlin, the world's laziest gobshite. Didn't see him start the game.
Yeah.
McCarthy, Schneiderlin, Martina, Pickford, Walcott, Tosin. There's plenty of other shitbags in this team. Well, one big one. That's not it. You'll know it is.
Narrow it down.
No.
Oh, I know who it is.
I'm going to Idrissa Garnagay.
No, Idrissa Garnagay in this game. Tell a lie. Oh, no, yes, he didn't play, but he was on the bench.
Right. Is the shitbag in question Ashley Williams? By any
chance? It is indeed.
I never celebrated his goal against West Ham. I couldn't do it. I was done with him.
Ashley Williams and Morgan Schneider up the spine of the team, and I use the term spine very loosely.
I'm trying to think, because we must have had Martina at left back. Did John Joe Kenny play, Teddy?
He did. Yeah. We had the stellar full back pack of John Joe Kenny and Cuco Martina, while Coleman and Baines did. Sam Allardyce, Sammy Lee in the dugout.
Yeah, that's a shock.
It's
that.
Like a treehouse of horror. Simpsons.
Never feel like you've come a long way. The glow up is real. Yeah. It's
like one of them Twitter memes at the moment. You had to be there, isn't it?
With like Ashley Williams, just like weird pineapple haircut he had back here. Yeah, as one of the photos.
Ashley Williams came back that pre-season like he'd been travelling and going to festivals all summer. He was about 3 stone overweight. He had his hair in dreadlocks and wristbands all over him. It's like, mate, you can't go to all the festivals.
He looked like you create a character on Saints Row or something, didn't he?
We've got left. 1, 2, 3. It's 3 starters and 2 subs.
Mm-hmm. I'll say Michael Keane, centre half.
No, that's the first one you've got wrong.
Really?
Michael Keane was on the bench, did not play.
No idea, played centre half.
You do. There was like a makeshift back four that was somehow okay for a bit. And it was Williams, Kenny, obviously, and Martina who was back.
The fact that you've said that it was makeshift makes me think that it wasn't Phil Jagielka.
Jagielka was on the bench but didn't play. Okay. Still playing for us now. Wouldn't be given these clues, by the way, if he was still playing, but...
Yeah, I know.
Put it this way,
Mason Holgate?
Southampton,
you know? Mason Holgate.
It was Mason Holgate.
Yeah, I remember the season he pushed Firmino into the stand, wasn't it? Yeah.
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 So
we've got two more left. One's obvious, one isn't. And we've got two more bench players. Jesus Christ, you know who West Brom's manager was?
Nigel Pearson.
Alan Pardew, look at him.
Jesus, yeah.
Pardew, that's a clash, isn't it?
I think I might know the non-obvious one is, but I'll say Sigurdsson.
Bigginson did indeed start the game, so it was one more starter, and he was the non-obvious one.
I don't think Bolasie had come back from injury.
Or two people, I think.
I don't think Bolasie had come back from injury at this point. Did you say there was one obvious one, or...?
That was Sigurdsson. There was one starter who isn't obvious and two bench players who were both obvious.
Was Calvert-Lewin on the bench?
He wasn't at all.
Oh, okay.
Never think of him ever being injured.
You guys have just been not picked. It was Alizé, remember?
Mm, yeah, yeah, it's true, yeah. It's a non-obvious one. Bolasie was back, because I remember he came back on Boxing Day, so I'll say Bolasie.
Bolasie was the one of the two who came off the bench.
Okay.
Well, one of the three, but the two left.
So we've had Bolasie two now. We've had two, haven't we, who came off the bench?
What, yeah, one sub, one more sub and one more starter.
All right. Garnaghy, I've said. McCarthy, Schneiderlin, that makes me midfield. Probably the most defensive midfield I've ever seen, that.
We conceded when it goal down, remember?
I think this was the season that Morales got shipped off to Olympiacos or something.
What do you mean when the season he got shipped off? He got shipped off in three consecutive years.
No, the first one. The original voice. By shipped off, I mean this was the first time his number got changed. Because he went to 28 and then he went and then he's now wherever he is, isn't
put that
he?
But picture on Instagram.
Oh my god, I haven't got a clue. I really haven't got a clue, Teddy.
The non-obvious could be, is it Vlasic?
It is Nikola Vlasic.
Oh, what a,
the man
what
who was less famous. The professional footballer.
Yeah, well, I think either him or Lucan.
The international footballer who's less famous than his own sister.
Yeah.
This is a fighter's battles on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then one more off the bench.
One more who came off the bench. 17, 18. I don't know. James, you got any idea?
I'll say Wazza.
Was indeed the current Derby County manager, Wayne Rooney, came off the bench.
All right.
And that's everyone. So congratulations, yeah. James.
Well done, James.
You've got a fair bit to think about your song now. Could you please tell us the song you'd like to see us out to at the end of the podcast?
I'll go for In Your Life by the Beatles. I hadn't thought about it at all, to be honest, but I'll go for that.
I don't know why not. You win all your quizzes, so you should be thinking about it before you come on. A little theme going.
Yeah. I'll pre-prepare next time, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, that's the end of the podcast. Brings us nice and neatly to a close. Thanks to everyone for listening. As we listen to the tones of a small, little-known band from Liverpool called The Beatles. I'll just say thank you for listening again, and check out everyone's social media, Toffee Blues on Twitter, Instagram. Check out Stephen's social media. Check out mine especially, and obviously check out James's social media, The Babylon Blues, as well. So thank you very much.
Thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you in the next one. We'll